May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
Thank you.
from God's holy word. We will read from the Gospel according to John and the first chapter. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word and help Benji to pray.
Come now, grant true prayer. Oh, that we might know the presence of thy Holy Spirit inditing true prayer in our hearts. Oh, Lord, as we desire to come unto thee at this evening hour. Lord, thou hast in mercy brought us each into thy house once more. Oh, may we not lightly esteem this privilege. Oh, Lord, none doth hinder us, and oh, Lord, we are free to come and worship thee. Oh, but how we need thy Holy Spirit's aid to put that true worship in our hearts. Oh, that thou wilt come now and remember us for good. As we come unto thee, poor unworthy sinners, Lord, we desire to come humbly before thee with that contrite spirit, confessing our sins. O Lord, and seeking thee. O that we might truly come unto thee, seeking that forgiveness which alone cometh from thee. O Lord, that we might know our interest in thy blood, in that great work which thou hast done. Oh, that thou would apply these things to our hearts and our souls. Oh, Lord, that we each might be prepared for an eternity to come. Oh, Lord, we know not one of us here, how long we have here below, but oh, that we each might be found truly waiting upon thee and seeking thee that we might be ready. Lord, have mercy upon us. Work in our hearts. Quicken our spirits into life and draw us unto thee. Thou alone must the work perform. Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves, but oh, we would try. Keep our eyes up unto thee. Thou alone must do it. Do remember us then and have mercy on us each. O Lord, thou knowest each and every case found here in thy house this night. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt send those true answers of peace, if it can be thy will. And Lord, thou knowest if there are any here that have come out of tradition and form. We pray that thou wilt send that word home, O Lord, and cause it to be an arrow in their hearts and turn their feet to thee. And Lord, we pray for those not with us this night. Thou knowest the various reasons, some lawful, and Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with each one where they are. And Lord, there are some that have turned away. We do pray that thou wilt reach them where they are. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, turn their feet and bring them back. Oh, Lord, we do pray then for thy work to be truly made manifest. And we pray that thou wilt use thy word as it is preached week by week by thy servants, that thou wilt make it effectual in the hearts of sinners, powerful by the work of thy Spirit, O Lord, that there might be those enabled to truly come and speak of what thou hast done, what a Saviour they have found. O Lord, that thou wilt come and remove those many hindrances. For, O Lord, we know they are many. They keep us back from thee. Oh, that thou wilt come and increase our faith. Oh, that we might have faith in thee, Lord, that thou canst do these things, and that thou wilt be our helper. And we do pray then that each of us might be kept in that right way, that thou wilt preserve us, O Lord, from turning aside and wandering from thee. For, O Lord, what wretched hearts we have, and how soon we turn aside. Oh, do keep us then, and draw us unto thee. Remember us for good. Lord, we desire to remember thy mercies to one and another in this house. O Lord, we have seen of late thy mercies once more. Lord, we remember Peter brought into thy house once more this day. O Lord, and we remember those many prayers put up on his behalf. O Lord, may we be enabled to truly give thanks unto thee, for it is all of thy mercies. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help each of thy servants as they come into this house week by week. O Lord, that thou wilt give them that word to bring, and that thou wilt make it effectual. O Lord, do help each one. And Lord, we pray for thy servant with us this day. Lord, that thou wilt give him all needed help and strength. O Lord, that thou wilt enable him still to continue to blow that gospel trumpet. That thou wilt truly enable him to raise up a precious Jesus. O Lord, have mercy upon him now. Help him as he hopes to come during this week. Give him that word to speak and grant him that true gospel liberty. O Lord, that there might be those hearts prepared of thee to receive thy word. O Lord, do go before us each then in all our untrodden steps and help us still. Lord, we would pray for our country, our nation. Thou knowest the terrible state we're in at this present time, and we do pray that thou wilt put that true, urgent, fervent prayer in the hearts of thy people, that thou wilt appear, that thou wilt plant thy fear in our rulers. O Lord, thou canst do it, nothing being impossible with thee. O Lord, do help us then to truly seek thee for these great things. Thou only must do it. Remember us each then, and go before us. We do pray now that thou wilt help our brother in reading, Lord, those things preached in times past. We pray that thou wilt come and make them light and life once more, to never die in sinners. Lord, do help him eat once more, and be with us now. Oh, do go before us. Help us in all things concerning thy house, that we might truly do thy will, and that there might be that honour and glory unto thy name. Do have mercy now, and forgive us each all our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 914. Beneath the sacred throne of God, I saw a river rise. The streams were peace and pardoning blood, descending from the skies. Hymn 914.
Thank you.
I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom. You will find the words of the text in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1 and verse 29. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This must have been a most sacred occasion. John the Baptist was there baptizing. His ministry was being blessed. Many were coming to him. Many were being baptized. And then on this day, as he was preaching, there was a stranger appeared in the crowd, unknown to the people, a glorious stranger, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. John pointed to him and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And those who were listening to John knew what he meant. This title, the Lamb, is part of the Gospel vocabulary. And under the Old Testament there were a lot of these words, like sacrifice, blood, priest, the Lamb. And they were all a preparation for the coming of the Saviour. These who listened to John the Baptist knew well what it meant. The Lamb. They expected the coming of the Saviour. They expected the coming of the Messiah. But John clearly tells us that this glorious person, the Son of God, the one who has come into this world, has come as the Lamb of God, and he has come with one purpose. And that is that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, beloved friends, it is a most beautiful expression, a most beautiful title of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Incidentally, in passing, there are more names and titles given to the Lord Jesus in this chapter than any other chapter in the Word of God. As you go through it, the Word and then the Light, and you can go on. There must be a dozen or more different names and offices and titles given to the Lord Jesus, and they are all precious. And they are all so attractive. Oh, but this, the Lamb of God. I hope some of you children, you girls and boys and you young people, might see a beauty in this title, the Lamb of God. Well, of course, it speaks of the Lord Jesus in his spotless purity. The Lamb of God. It speaks of the Lord Jesus in his meekness and gentleness, the Lamb of God. But especially it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the appointed sacrifice for the sins of his people. That is what it meant to those who were listening to John the Baptist. Every Israelite was well instructed in what the Lamb was and the value of the Lamb. Well, day by day, They saw the sacrifice with blood. They knew that the lamb was slain each day at Jerusalem. They knew the reason, because God had said, without shedding of blood is no remission. They knew it must be a lamb without blemish and without spot. Some of them perhaps were bewildered by it. Some perhaps saw no further than the rite, the ceremony. But every one of them knew what the lamb meant. They could look back to the time when Israel came out of Egypt, the Passover lamb, the destroying angel passing through the land of Egypt, death to each house, death to the firstborn. Israel no different, no better by nature than Egypt, but the houses of the Israelites passed by. Why? Well, they saw the Lamb. Every Israelite knew of the Lamb. It was the one thing needful. It was so precious on the Passover night. The Lamb without blemish was slain instead of the Israelite. There was death in every house, the Egyptians, the Israelites. It was either the firstborn or it was the lamb instead of the firstborn, in the place of the firstborn. Substitution. It was well understood by the Israelites. The lamb slain and then the blood shed, and the blood had to be applied to the doors of the house where they were. It spoke of a personal interest in it, and those who were sheltering in a house where the blood was were completely safe. Where the blood was applied, there was life. Where there was no blood, there was death. So the value of the lamb, the value of the blood, a refuge, a hiding place from God's anger against sin. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Oh, these hearers of John the Baptist knew well what the Lamb meant. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They could look back even before the Passover. The first martyr, Abel, and he was well taught that lesson, that the only way of approach to a holy God must be through the lamb slain, through blood shed. How much Abel knew, we are not told. But we know that because it was by faith, he had a view of Christ, the Lamb of God. The Word of God tells us it was an excellent sacrifice. What was wrong with Cain's offering, the fruit of the field? It was really what he had done, what he had accomplished. But above all, it was not according to the law of God. It was a bloodless sacrifice, a bloodless offering. And there is so much of this bloodless sacrifice, bloodless offering, bloodless religion today. I think I am right in saying this. It was before the last war, And there were plans that that beautiful hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," should be excluded from the Methodist hymn book. Dr. Dinsdale Young, in the leading Methodist pulpit in Westminster, opened the service with, "There is a fountain filled with blood," and said, "Whatever our denomination says about it, we will start the service with it today and next week and the one after. No salvation without the blood, without the Lamb." Abel's offering was accepted. The bloodless sacrifice was rejected. And there always has been the enmity of the world against the people of God. And there always has been the enmity of professed religion against those who preach the atonement. So Cain slew his brother Abel, who went as the first martyr to heaven. Those Israelites who heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," knew all about Mount Moriah. "And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." They knew how Isaac was about to be sacrificed, and at the last moment God stayed his hand, and there Isaac was freed from the altar, and the lamb that had been caught with its horns in the thicket was slain on the altar. The sacrifice, the lamb slain instead of Isaac. The lamb dies, and Isaac is set free. These things were burnt into the hearts of Israel down the ages. And then the whole of the ceremonial law, those lambs that had to be sacrificed, the blood that had to be shed. No salvation, no remission without blood. And so this went on century after century, and every Israelite knew it. But in reality they knew one other thing, that all those lambs that were slain and all that blood that was shed could never really, truly, actually put away sin. The faithful in Israel longed for an answer. They knew this was not the end. They knew Messiah was to come. They saw it through the types and shadows. They saw it through a glass darkly. But now at length this glorious truth, "Behold the Lamb of God," not just one of these Jewish lambs, not just one of these Israelites' lambs. This is the Lamb of God, the Lamb appointed by God, the Lamb provided by God, the Lamb who is God's dear eternal Son, the Lamb who becomes a real man that he might suffer, bleed, and die. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All these listening Israelites knew of the Lamb which in type took away the sin of a Jew, the sin of an Israelite. But "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," Gentiles and Jews alike. Now it is a most beautiful word, isn't it? I have felt, if only I could rightly speak to you about the glories and beauties of the dear Lamb of God. But we have to prove, living tongues are dumb at best. We must die to speak of Christ. But if only the text remains with you, and if only you are enabled to obey the text. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt, none shall ever be confounded who on thee their hopes have built. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I thought, if only the Lord today would use the text, and I could not help thinking of Spurgeon. I know we do not agree with some things in Spurgeon, but there was that famous occasion when, having to preach in the Crystal Palace to over 20,000 people, he feared the people would not hear his voice. So a day or two before this great national service in the Crystal Palace, he went along, and the platform was erected, and the whole vast place was completely empty. He went up on the rostrum and thought he would try his voice out and see if it was possible to make himself heard. He repeated this word, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Unbeknown to him, in one of the galleries was a workman who knew nothing of what was being done. He heard this voice as if it were coming from heaven, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And the Lord sealed it right home to his heart. There was no exposition, no comment, no sermon. We do not know whether anything was accomplished when the crowd gathered, but just one simple text of Scripture, preached in power by the Holy Ghost in a sinner's heart. Well, may it be something like that. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I think if you have a margin to your Bible, you will find it renders this word, taketh away, as beareth away. That is the only way that sin could ever be taken away. If the Lamb of God should bear it away, which he did when that solemn word was fulfilled at the cross, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid all the sins of all his people upon Christ, and Christ bore them with strength enough and none to spare. And the dear Lamb of God, as he bore those sins, he bore all the wrath of God that those sinners deserved. And payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding shortest hand, and then again at mine. Divine wrath fell on the Lamb of God, and he bore it. And he bore it away that it might never fall on the sinner who shelters in him. Oh, that taking away of all the sin of all the people of God. So this is a very beautiful word, a very beautiful text. but it has to do with a dreadful, evil, ugly thing, and that is sin. We will not really be interested in the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world unless we are brought to feel that we want the Lamb of God to take away our sin, to take away your sin, my sin. Well, have you any sins you want the Lamb of God to take away? One thing is clear. We cannot take away our own sin. Our confession does not take away our sins. Our repentance does not take away our sins. If we cry many tears, it does not take away our sins. It is only the Lamb of God who can take away sin. But you say, well, I don't think I am much of a sinner. To take you on your own ground, if you die and you have one sin, only one sin, and it has not been taken away, then hell will be your eternal portion. So great is the justice of God. So great is the holiness of God, so great is the purity of God, that one sin untaken away cannot appear in the presence of God in heaven. Heaven is that holy, holy, holy place where sin can never, never, never enter. But the mystery of it, all these 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands who are in heaven, every single one of them by nature and practice sinners, and yet they are in that place where sin can never enter. Then you see it here. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, so that that multitude that no man can number can enter into heaven. I do not want you to think, when it says the Lord Jesus took away the sin of the world, that it means everybody. It means all sorts of people. It means people throughout the world. It means Jews as well as Gentiles. But it is very, very clear that some people have never had their sins taken away. And some have never wanted them taken away. And some have never been concerned about taking them away. And some of them have never felt they have any sins to be taken away. In former days, under the preaching of the gospel, our chapel seemed to be filled with hearers who had the most awful consciousness of the vileness of their sin. Yet they were good, upright, moral people outwardly. But they had such views of the holy, righteous, spotless character of God, and such views of the demands of his holy law, which demands perfection and nothing short in thought and word and deed. So they not only believed because it was in Scripture, but they felt in the sight of a holy, heart-searching God that they were sinners. And the great thing was, if only they might find their sins forever put away. Well, this beautiful word has relationship to that awful fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None can do anything to put away their own sin. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, it was at Calvary that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world, that is, the world of God's people among Gentiles as well as Jews. I know some people preach a kind of general redemption, that Jesus died for everybody, and then it is up to you whether you accept it or not. Now, what kind of salvation is that? If sin was put away on the cross, then it can no more be charged to my account. What kind of salvation is that which puts away the sin of Cain as well as Abel, Saul as well as David, Judas Iscariot as well as Peter? Oh, to have a salvation that saves, and an atonement that atones, and a redemption that redeems. Here we have a sure foundation. Here's a refuge for the lost. But an indefinite atonement, a general atonement, is no solid foundation. It is sinking sand. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I do not want any of you just to think of this merely as a kind of legal transaction. It was a covenant transaction between the Father and the Son made in eternity, that on condition of the Son of God obeying the law and bearing its curse, the elect would be saved with an everlasting salvation. So there was a legal agreement. There was a covenant. But I want you to see the love of the Saviour in it. Was ever love like this? God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of the dear Lamb of God in going to the cross to suffer, bleed and die. It were an easy part for him the cross to fly, but love to sinners fills his heart and makes him choose to die. He said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." This willingness of the dear Lamb of God to die. When they came to arrest him in the garden, and he said, "I am he," they fell back helpless. He said, "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." The willingness of the Lamb of God to die, the love of the Lamb of God to sinners, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want you to see the love in it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want you always to remember just how much he suffered. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now is it nothing to you? Hear the dear Lamb of God from the cross. Is it nothing to you? I believe that cuts our congregation in two this evening. There are some of you. Is it nothing to you? You say, it means everything to me. I say this in much affection. Sadly, I believe there are still some of you, and it means nothing to you whether the Saviour died or whether he did not die. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold his dying love, and behold the sufferings he endured, because as he bore his people's sins, he bore their sorrows. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It is precious blood, and only precious blood, that can take away sin. So the apostle is very bold. He says, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When the dear Lord Jesus, the dear Lamb of God, died, when he shed his precious blood, when he cried with a loud voice, it is finished, then all the sins of all his people were forever put away, forever taken away. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, you have the Lamb in type, and then the Lamb preached by John the Baptist, and then the Lamb slain, the one sacrifice at Calvary, and there at the cross you have the sins of all God's people forever put away. But, beloved friends, the great point is you and me personally. We see the dear Lamb of God dying for sinners on the cross. We see their sins forever put away. But we want our sins to be forgiven. We want our sins personally to be atoned for. Our sins personally to be put away. This is it. Behold the Lamb of God. as the Holy Spirit shows you that you have seeds, as the Holy Spirit shows you that you have sins which need to be put away, and the solemnity of those sins which need to be put away, and your accountability for those sins which need to be put away, then he brings you to behold the Lamb of God. When John said it, I imagine all the people turned and looked. But with you and me, it is by faith. Faith which brings eternal realities near. Faith which brings distant things near. Faith which takes us to that hill outside the city wall at Jerusalem. Faith which brings us to see the dear Lamb of God suffering, bleeding, dying upon the cross, shedding his precious blood. Faith which enables us to look to him, to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, and which says, Dear Lamb of God, take away mine, take away my sins. Oh, it is that look of complete dependence. It is that look of sorrow. It is that look of confession. It is that look of repentance. It is that look renouncing any hope in self or anything I can do. It is that look of hope. None but Jesus. This is my only hope. This is the way to heaven. Here I see my pardon. Here I see my forgiveness. And there at the cross you feel the awfulness of sin. And you feel as you never felt it before, that you have a sweet hope. It is forever put away. Can you remember what we sang at the Lord's table at the beginning of this month? Then beneath the cross adoring, sin does like itself appear. When the wounds of Christ exploring, I can read my pardon there. It is solemn, sacred language, but may a few of you this evening by faith read your pardon there. Other hope, other refuge we have none. No other way of salvation, no other way to heaven. Oh, but the glory of the gospel. Salvation for the chief of sinners, brought by the Holy Spirit's teaching to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and to rest your hope, your only hope, there. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt, none shall ever be confounded who on thee their hopes have built. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wallace is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Thank you. And the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost.